Hello, and welcome to Leaders for Business as Unusual, exploring views from progressive green business leaders. In this episode, Dr. Charles Barthold, Senior Lecturer in Human Resources Management and Organisation Studies at the Open University, talks to Louisa Zayan, the co-founder and Chief Operating Officer of Toast Ale.
So, Louisa, could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Louisa Zayan. I'm the co-founder and Chief Operating Officer at Toast Ale. We are a craft brewery with a mission to reduce food waste. We brew our beer with surplus fresh bread that would otherwise have been wasted, and all of our profits go to charities that are working to fix the food system. Food production is the biggest impact that we have on the planet. It's responsible for about a third of greenhouse gas emissions, 80% of deforestation, 70% of fresh water, many other environmental problems, and yet we waste a third of all the food that we produce. So we set up Toast to change that.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much. So, and how do you understand the role of your organization in relation to the ecological emergency? You already mentioned it a little bit, but if you could further elaborate, it would be great.
So when we founded Toast, we set up the business with four key principles. The first was to create a great tasting product that meant that people did not feel that they had to compromise on the taste or you know, the quality of the beer that they were choosing. We also looked at the business from an operational perspective, looking at our profits and where our profits went to, and then how we operate with wider influence within our industry. And those are the areas where I think our business really has a role to play in relation to the ecological emergency. So the second principle related to our operations was to maximize the amount of bread that we rescue from bakeries that would otherwise have gone to waste, and to use that within our brewing process. We replace about a third of malted barley that would otherwise be used to brew. Malt itself has a huge environmental impact. A lot of energy is used to grow and then to malt the grains of barley, plus a lot of water. It's a very water intensive industry. So as well as preventing waste through our operations, we are also reducing demands for this virgin ingredient. The third principle was about how we used our profits. So we wanted to ensure that we weren't distributing profits to shareholders who may then go on to invest those profits in other investments that could negate the positive impact that we were having as a business. So we distribute all of our surplus profits to charities that are working to fix some of the systemic issues that cause food waste in the first place. We also ask our investors to agree to what we call equity for good. It's a pledge whereby those investors commit to reinvest any net capital gains that they make if they sell their shares in Toast, to reinvest those into other businesses with an environmental mission, or to donate those to charities. And then our fourth and final principle is around how we use our influence. And that is really to raise awareness of food waste, both as a problem, a symptom of a problem, but also a huge opportunity for us to address climate change in a positive and engaging way. We know that Project Drawdown, for example, has looked at lots of different measures that can be taken to combat the growing climate emergency, and food waste, tackling food waste, comes out as the top measure in terms of its ease, speed, and equitable impact that addressing that can have. So we have tried to create a business model that is tackling the ecological emergency.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Next sets of questions, which will be about your leadership challenges and tensions, if there are any. So my next question will be the following. What do you find most challenging about leading an organization and making choices to prioritize ecological sustainability? Would you have any specific example of particular situations, please?
Yeah, leading a business and also prioritizing environmental sustainability comes with lots of challenges. The ones that stand out most for me are that it can be more time consuming, which is particularly draining on small businesses like mine. It uses a lot of resources from the team to spend on researching options that are available, testing out different options, maybe developing ideas in-house as well. There are not off-the-peg solutions to all of the problems that we face. And so for us, it's really key that we can maybe work with bigger partners who have more resources and time to do that, or we can inspire other players within our industry or are outside of our industry to work on some of those challenges, offering what we can to support, but with the idea that ultimately we'll benefit from that innovation within our industry. The second is that it can be more expensive, and any increase in cost is going to affect our margins. For us as a craft brewery, we're ultimately competing with a lot of other craft breweries on the shelves in supermarkets, pubs, bars, etc. I think there are a number of people who, and an increasing number, who are willing to pay a premium because they recognise the positive impact that the business is making when they're investing in better ingredients, packaging, etc. But that is a small subset of people, and we really need to get to scale so that environmental sustainability is cost competitive, and we're not asking people to pay more. That again means that we need innovation, we need to get to scale, but it may also mean that we need to look at how to better price in externalities into other products. So it levels out the playing field. And then the third, I think, is around needing to achieve a demand shift. We need the expectations of our customers to change, overall to look at reducing consumption, but also the difference in the products that they're buying. And a tangible example for us is a recent study that we completed as part of our 2021 impact report, where we looked at the relative carbon footprint of a can versus a bottle of our beer. Same amount of beer, 330 mils, one in aluminium can, the other in a glass bottle. And it showed for us that the cans had a far lower carbon footprint, so much preferable for us to encourage our customers to buy those. However, when we go to eat at a restaurant or in a bar or at some events, people like to have a bottle, and it's quite challenging to change the buying behavior of our trade customers, those restaurants, bars, etc. And ultimately, we need to change customers' expectations by increasing awareness, I think, about the relative benefits, and yeah, making it accessible so that both choices are available. That was a very difficult decision for us as to whether we should make that change. Should we limit the products that we offer so that we only sell in cans, for example? And we've had conversations with some of our customers. And I think the reality at the moment is that we would just lose that business. And so for us, that's a difficult decision, but we've continued to supply bottles and we continue to offer them, sharing information about their impact at the same time to try and nudge customers in a slightly different direction.
Okay, thanks a lot. Are there situations when you look back that you feel that you didn't make the best organizational choices in acting for ecological sustainability? Or in other words, what would you have done differently, please?
It's really difficult, actually. We are a very values-led business, and so most of the big decisions that we are making come from us all already sharing the desire to operate in the most positively impactful way that we can. It's one of our core values, our passion. And so I don't think there are a lot of decisions that we've made that I would look back on now and do differently. The only one that perhaps stands out for me was a decision that we made to launch a subsidiary company in the US. We have always said that we wouldn't export our beer because you're essentially transporting heavy packaged liquid around the world, and that comes with a huge environmental footprint. And there are breweries that operate everywhere and bakeries that have a waste problem. So we've always operated on the basis of finding partnerships and collaborating with those. But for the US, they have such a huge food waste problem, similar to the level of food waste we have here in the UK. And the beer market there, the craft beer market, has been growing really significantly. And then a number of our bigger customers who also operated in the US were really keen that we were able to supply to them there. We didn't want to export our beer from the UK, so we set up the subsidiary. We had a very small team operating in the US, and it did mean that it needed senior management support from the UK, with the team flying over to New York to support them. And as a small business with a very lean operation, actually the impact of those few flights was quite significant on our footprint. That was in 2019, the first full analysis that we did. Come COVID, when we went into lockdown, we obviously had to stop traveling at that point and could see the impact, positive impact that was having on our carbon footprint. And we made a decision at that point that actually it would be better for us to pause operations in the US and to change that into a more of a collaboration model. So that's where we are at the moment. We are limiting overseas travel again for the team and working more in collaboration with brewery partners in the US as well.
Thank you. That's really, really extremely interesting. That's one challenge that is faced by organizations. You know, very, very different organizations. How do you internationalize and so on? It's not always easy. So next question. In your organization, are there situations when there have been tensions between acting uncompromisingly for ecological sustainability and attaining financial profits? Do you have specific examples, please?
I gave this question quite a lot of thought, and I really don't think there is. There's the example that I gave you earlier regarding, you know, whether we limit supply to certain customers in terms of the products that we offer, or even limiting who we will supply to. And we have made some decisions to supply particular companies, in particular in the oil and gas sector. But we are very purpose-led as a business, and we measure our impact not just on profit but also on impact, and we measure that in terms of the amount of bread that we've prevented going for waste preliminary. So there is nothing really where we have been faced with such a hard decision to either do something that was profitable or act in an environmentally sustainable way.
Okay, thank you. So next question, which is on your own leadership and good practices. So what do you think is involved in being a good leader in your organization? Do you have any examples, please?
I think for me, one of the key things is to have self-awareness about your own strengths and weaknesses, both as an individual leader, but also as your entire business. I think it's important to then use your strengths generously, so both, you know, to yourself and the growth of your own business, to be very focused on where you can have a positive impact, but also to share those strengths with others with the bigger picture in mind, helping other organizations to learn from what you're achieving and support them on their journeys as well. We've always said that as a small business, we can only have a limited impact. And so it's really important that we support and inspire other businesses to come on this journey with us. One example is we were the first brewery in the UK to become a certified B Corp back in 2018. And we've been through the recertification process as well in 2021. We And I personally spend quite a lot of time with other companies who are either on the start of a journey to considering becoming a B Corp or to going through that certification process and adapting their business model, their policies and procedures, their ways of operating in order to meet the minimum standards that B Corp require, and offering them support and advice and sharing the lessons that we have learnt on our journey. Yeah, I think that's really important because B Corp is a movement and it requires us to invite a diverse number and range of industries into the movement so that we can all move together. And then I think on your weaknesses side, I think it's about being open and honest about what your weaknesses are. And that might be because you yourself, I am personally or as a business, are on a learning journey, and it's only by being transparent about where you have learning needs that you're able to develop those. Or it might be that you are in a better position to actually seek out synergistic partnerships and then work together with others to bring that balance, to balance your weaknesses with their strengths. And that could be as collaboration or it could be as part of a long-term partnership. But really important to break down barriers that exist between individual organisations. As an example, on our carbon footprinting analysis, it shows that only 3% of our emissions are within our direct control, scope 1 or 2 emissions, which means that 97% of our emissions occur largely in the supply chain, some with our customers. But so it's really important for us that we are able to work with our suppliers, using their expertise as to how maybe we also need to adapt to allow them to make changes, but ultimately work together so that we can together reduce carbon footprint.
Okay, thanks a lot. Next one, how would you say your leadership style is different from mainstream green businesses?
I'd say our leadership approach is different from mainstream businesses in that, firstly, many mainstream businesses have sustainability or ESG as a bolt-on, an add-on to their core operating businesses. They maybe have a separate department that looks after it, maybe, you know, a work that they focus on at one point in the year. Whereas Toast has sustainability principles inbuilt into our business model. Every single decision that we make is made through that lens. And so I think ultimately that means that we have a more positive impact, and also we mitigate the risk of us making decisions that are at odds with our mission. Secondly, I think where those mainstream businesses have become more focused on sustainability, they often develop sustainable products or practices and see them as having a unique selling point, and therefore then try to protect that USP, whereas we recognize that there is a real urgency for huge systemic change and that everybody needs to be on a journey together. We open source our recipe, for example, so we want to encourage everybody from people brewing at home to get involved, using up their surplus household bread waste, to brewers all across the world who can access the brewing recipe to work with us. We also collaborate with breweries all around the world and share our expertise with them directly. Either we produce a collaboration beer together, or we will just advise them remotely to help them understand how we've brought in circular economy principles to our business and to embed those. That also, we think, ultimately will help us because I think at some level, consumers are still getting to understand what waste means and that it shouldn't be a negative concept. A lot of the food that we waste is perfectly edible, nutritious, delicious. It is just genuinely produced to surplus. And so by normalizing the use, for example, of surplus bread in beer, then we normalize it from a consumer perspective as well, which then overcomes one barrier that will help us move faster. Other areas, for example, where we've been open trying to support others is in our impact report, where we share a full analysis of our carbon footprint and the work that we're doing in each area across our value chain to improve our carbon footprint.
Based on debates at Glasgow and beyond, what is exciting and frustrating you in terms of businesses addressing the environmental emergency?
I'm excited that there are now a lot more businesses that are working on sustainability and carbon reduction in particular. Having set net zero goals, I think, aligned with the COP26 process, a lot of businesses in the lead up to COP, in the UK at least, where we're based, wanted to make commitments themselves that aligned with the huge amount of press surrounding that event. And now are busy working away to plan out how they will achieve those goals. That means there's a lot more financial resource being put to how we mitigate the climate situation, the climate emergency, and that includes lots more jobs as well. So many more people that are working on this, which is really exciting. Also seeing a lot more collaborative ways of working emerging. Around the time of COP26, again, a number of initiatives were launched. For example, there's an initiative called Be Beauty, which is 40 different B Corps from all across the world who are working together to look at everything from the ingredients that they're procuring to the packaging used and the logistics, so that the industry as a whole can achieve a step change. And that, for me, is really exciting. I am still very frustrated by the overuse of offsetting, though, as part of companies' stories towards achieving their net zero goals. I'm concerned that some of that may detract from the real work that needs to be done. I think there is a role to play for offsets, and that will include, you know, investment that is needed in some of these projects that are being funded through carbon offsets. But as I say, I think it can be a real distraction, and we've got to be really careful that doesn't happen.
Thank you so much. Next question, which is a follow-up to a certain extent. What needs to happen in terms of change for businesses so they can address the environmental emergency? How would you characterize such a change, please?
I think for businesses, there needs to be a change in the political leadership, their approach to the climate emergency. One very tangible example at the moment is the policing bill that's going through Parliament, where the government is seeking to silence protesters. So those are people that have achieved a lot in terms of raising public awareness about the climate crisis, raised awareness for business leaders as well, encouraging and I think giving a lot of businesses the permission to be more outspoken, because they can see that there is within their communities, within their customers, there is support for businesses to be taking action. I think there needs to be more commitment from the government towards the net zero targets that have been set, that are commensurate with the climate emergency. There are some measures that are being implemented that are starting to price in some of the externalities, which I think are also important for businesses. These tend to have been focused more on plastics. So there's, for example, a plastic tax being introduced that will penalise companies that are sourcing plastic with less than 30% recycled content. We also have the deposit return scheme that is being introduced in Scotland, and we'll see what happens in England, but also to put that responsibility back on companies to be managing the packaging waste that they're ultimately responsible. I think that needs to increase so that we can more fairly compare the price of products based on the impact that they are having on the planet. And then for businesses, I also think one huge opportunity is to invite better representation into the business at a board level. There's a really interesting project being led by a group called Boardroom 2030, where they're encouraging young people to sit on their boards, and that it could be just inviting them to one board meeting or being more formally part of a board structure. But I think it's really important that the senior leadership of business are hearing from the future generations directly and incorporating their views into the business strategies that are being set now for the future.
Yeah, I mean, just one to add, which is really, really personal. So when you look at, let's say, huge challenges in terms of actually implementing sustainability in large corporations, how do you react to that? Do you think it's better to, small is beautiful in a way, so is it perhaps it becomes too difficult beyond small businesses to really commit to those, or do you think at some point big business might also be able to do it for real?
I think it comes down to the motivations and purposes behind the business and the value system that's being created within the company, which ultimately, you know, it dictates the type of people that you're hiring and the belief systems that they are bringing into the organizations as well. I think that can be, you know, a very small business led by a few passionate people. It can also be a big company that is, you know, either it has roots of sustainability or doesn't, but has a very passionate group of internal stakeholders that are pushing for change. So I don't think necessarily size is only reason why one company should be more sustainable than another. From my personal experience, small companies come with the ability to make decisions faster, to be more nimble, to engage stakeholders in a faster way, because your team are all within one room. You can ask those questions. They all understand. There, if you have someone, as we do in our team, who's responsible for suppliers, they know the policies of our supply chain. Our sales director knows the policies of our customers. So we are able to incorporate all of those different stakeholder views quite easily. For a bigger company, that is obviously much more challenging. Things take a lot longer to roll out and often have to go through different hierarchy levels of approval to get anything passed. But those big companies have the funding. They have, you know, the money that can be invested in research, innovation, and also they often have the audience. So bigger brands can reach many more people from a customer perspective much more easily. And so in order to raise awareness, for example, around food waste, a big brewery doing what we're doing now would be able to very quickly communicate the principles of the circular economy. And one of the things that we're doing now is actually looking at creating an ingredients business so that the surplus bread that we rescue and we process, so it's accessible for brewing, we would sell that into other companies. Now, big breweries are looking to, yeah, just to essentially buy in ingredients. They don't want the hassle of engaging with lots of small bakeries and processing. They want to be focused on the brewing so they can simply buy in. If we could get a large brewery to be purchasing from and to talk to their audience about food waste and the circular economy, then that's a huge opportunity to educate a lot of people. I think there are risks. So you mentioned Danone and B Corp. I think every company should be on a journey, and we should be encouraging companies that are not to start that journey and to progress it. We just have to be careful about how we communicate the work that they're doing externally so that customers are not perhaps deceived is not the right word, but that they are not misled about the work that is being done when they compare on the shelves. A big company that may have just started their B Corp journey, and a small company that has an impactful business model or three or four impactful business models cooked into the way they operate and has been operating with that those principles as part of their DNA for many years. That doesn't necessarily show up for a customer when they just both have a B Corp logo on their product. So we need to be thinking, I think, now about how we communicate the relative impact of those different businesses or where they are on a journey. But let's get everybody on that journey.
Thank you very much. This was absolutely fascinating.
Thank you for listening. This project was completed in 2022 by Dr. Stephen Allen at the University of Sheffield and Dr. Charles Bartold at the Open University. Their work was supported by a grant from the Society of the Advancement of Management Studies. The Progressive Green Business Leaders interviewed are identified as people who do business differently by working uncompromisingly for ecological sustainability. The recorded interviews have been produced and uploaded for others to use in their teaching and learning. For more information, please email stephen.allen@sheffield.ac.uk or charles.bartold@open.ac.uk.